Today's passage of scripture is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, indeed, it is Christmas time. If you didn't know that, you should know it by now. We even have the poinsettias up front to remind us that it is Christmas time. And as the song says, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere we go, take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. And perhaps you're more inclined to think it's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Whatever you are inclined to think about, beloved, it is, or to sing about, it is Christmas time. And depending on where you are, Christmas just hits a little different. I mean, Christmas in Michigan hits a little different than Christmas in Georgia. Isn't that right, Brother David? It's just a little different. You see, in Michigan, no one is dreaming of a white Christmas. That's the only kind of Christmas you have. It's a little different. I've never been there, but I hear Christmas in New York is different. It's spectacular. The lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center or the Saks Fifth Avenue light show. Christmas in New York just hits a little different. Christmas in Florida is different. I've been there. My wife wasn't a fan of it, but I was, because I sure appreciated being able to get up on Christmas morning and going outside and playing with my new golf clubs and hitting them golf balls on Christmas morning. That's not something I grew up doing. Christmas in Florida just hits a little different, and Christmas always hits differently, beloved, depending on where you are. Christmas in Mexico is different from Christmas in Minneapolis. Or Christmas in India. Christmas in Egypt. And Christmas is different depending not only where you are, but when you are. One of the most successful marketing strategies of late has been this idea of Christmas in July. Christmas in July, which is beloved, nothing more than an excuse to overextend and overspend ourselves, not once, but twice a year. This is because, beloved, Christmas is big. Christmas is a big deal. And for some, even bigger or better, depending on where you are or when you are. And nowhere, I would suggest this morning, nowhere does Christmas hit bigger or Christmas hit better than it does in Isaiah. Christmas in Isaiah. That's our theme this year. We're going to do Christmas in Isaiah. Christmas in Isaiah is one of the Bible's most important themes. But when you understand this, beloved, that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. When you understand that Christmas is the celebration of the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. That's why the song says, come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Come thou long expected Jesus. Why? Because Christmas is a celebration of the coming of Jesus. And though many people missed it, the Bible, the Word of God, expected Jesus would come. Told again and again of Jesus coming. In fact, the prophecies of Jesus coming are all over the Old Testament. Micah, Jeremiah, Hosea, David, even Moses, all prophesied of the coming of Jesus, all prophesied of the coming of Christmas. But nowhere, beloved, nowhere is the promise and the prophecy clearer than it is in Isaiah. In fact, at the birth of Christ, the prophetic voice most often heard and quoted is the voice of Isaiah. And realize that Isaiah is written some over 700 years prior to, before the birth of Jesus, before Jesus came into the world. And yet Isaiah spoke clearly as anyone did concerning the coming of Messiah. In fact, when God wanted to announce the coming of Jesus, as our text in Matthew reminds us, he sent the angel of the Lord to Joseph. And he did this in fulfillment of the promise that he gave in Isaiah, reminding us that before there was Christmas in Bethlehem, there was Christmas in Isaiah. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Reminds us that all this is in fulfillment of the promise made. Made where? In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. When the angel comforted Joseph at the coming of Jesus, he did so in fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken in Isaiah, what the Lord has spoken through the prophet, that the son that was to be born to Mary would be Emmanuel, would be God with us. In other words, God would be present with us. There would be Christmas presents. Christmas presents. Because that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Christmas is about presents. Ask any child this morning what they are anticipating and looking forward to on Christmas, and the answer would be presents. I know that was true of me That was the excitement. That was the anticipation of every Christmas morning. Gifts around the Christmas tree. And when I was growing up, they were trains and cars, Barbies and Cabbage Patches, Ataris and Nintendos, G.I. Joes with the Kung Fu grips. Presents, and then presents are everywhere, beloved. Presents are everywhere. At church, there's presents. At school, there's presents. At work, there'll be presents. In the office, there'll be presents. In the neighborhoods, to neighbors, there'll be presents. Why? Because presents are key to our celebrations. The real message of Christmas, however, is not the presents that we give to one another. Though those presents are good, and let us not stop doing that. Those presents are good. But the key to Christmas is not the presents that we give to one another, but rather it is the presence of God in Christ Jesus in our lives. The presence of God in Christ in our lives. The presence of God in Christ in this world. And this is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas is all about, whether it's in July or December, whether it's in Mexico or Minneapolis, whether it's in Michigan or Macon. It doesn't matter. Anytime, anywhere. Jesus Emmanuel. God with us. The greatest gift of all. The presence of God. Into our world, beloved, the presence of God was born. Think about that. Into our lives, the presence of God was born. You read Matthew chapter 1 or any other accounts of the birth of Jesus, and you understand that the birth of Jesus is a miraculous birth, supernatural birth. Jesus was a miracle baby. And then, but you understand also that miracle babies were nothing new. Sarah had one. Rebecca did too, as well as Rachel and Hannah. With Mary, however, there's something different. For the miracle was not just that a baby came. The miracle was who the baby was. And this is what the angel was saying to Joseph. This is not just about Mary's going to have a miracle baby, but it's about who she's going to give birth to. She's going to give birth to Emmanuel. God with us. The angel said, notice what the angel said. The angel said that his birth name would be Yeshua. Joshua. Jesus. But he was literally Emmanuel. God in flesh appearing. If Miles Davis was the birth of cool, Jesus was the birth of presence. The presence of God. For God in Christ was not just sending a Savior, but this time he was coming himself. He had already sent Moses. He'd already sent Joshua. He had sent Gideon. He had sent David. He had sent Elijah. He had sent Elijah. But now, he would come himself. God would come in flesh appearing. Beloved, this is the miracle of all miracles, the sign of all signs, the wonder of all wonders. Not just that a virgin would have a baby, but that baby would be God with us. A God, a very God. The angel, don't miss this, beloved. The angel said to Joseph that Mary's baby would be named Jesus. Verse 21. Because he would save us from our sins. Listen to me this morning. The only reason that Jesus can save us from our sin is because Jesus is God. It's the only reason, beloved. Only God can save. Only God can save. And therefore, to deny the deity of Jesus is to deny his ability to save. It is to deny John 3:16 and every other word of God that says Jesus is the Savior of the world. Because the promise of Isaiah was not just for a child. It was not just for a Savior. But the promise of Isaiah is for God himself. God says a child would be born and I'm coming. I am he. When we say that Jesus saves, we are saying God saves. And when we say God saves, we are saying Jesus saves. That is the promise of God. That is the coming of God. That is what Emmanuel means. God has come to save us. And he's doing it himself. And beloved, that is the promise that he made to Isaiah. And that is the promise fulfilled in Matthew when the angel said Mary would give birth to Jesus. And the promise is not only that God would come and that God would save, but that in Christ Jesus, God would stay. He would stay. Christmas is the promise of the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. When Christ came into the world, or better yet, beloved, when he comes into our lives, he doesn't come just to check you out. He comes to stay. He didn't come just to observe your life. He comes to save our lives. He came to secure our lives. And he came so that he would stay in our lives. He came and he stays. And this, beloved, is the greatest Christmas gift of all. This is the presence of God. He's here. He's in your life. The greatest gift is Christ. The greatest present is presence. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord, beloved. I know we take it for granted. I know we take it lightly. And most of the time, we don't take it at all. But listen to me this morning. The presence of the Lord today is what the presence of the Lord has always been. What the presence of the Lord meant is what the presence of the Lord means. And if anything, at this Christmas, let us not take for granted the presence of the Lord. As you're preparing your presents, consider the presence of the Lord. As you are giving and receiving presents, remember the presence of the Lord. For the presence of the Lord is our protection. The presence of the Lord is our protection. When the Lord is with you, beloved, you are safe. That's why Christ comes into our life and he secures it. In fact, beloved, there is no safe harbor apart from the Lord. There is no safety apart from the Lord. I know me, for one, I am like a child wandering around in the dark, and I am inclined to danger and self-destruction. And the only safety I have is what the psalmist says in Psalm 91 in verses 1 and 2, that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of my Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There is no safety apart from him. There is no shelter apart from him. There is no fortress apart from him. It is the Lord who watches over you. It is his presence that keeps you. It's the Lord who watches over you. That's what David said in Psalm 121, verse 5 through 7. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and both going, both now and forevermore. It is the Lord who watches over you. It is the Lord who does it, beloved. It is his presence. The presence of the Lord is with you. It is your protection. But it's not only your protection. The presence of the Lord is your prosperity. It is your success. Those who have the presence of the Lord also have his favor. For wherever the Lord is, there also is his favor. Whoever the Lord rests upon, rests also his favor. I have no victory in my life apart from Christ. There are no victories apart from Christ. There are no successes apart from his favor. This was true of Joseph, was it not? That's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 3. That the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Where did his favor come from? Where did his success come from? It came from the presence of the Lord. That the Lord was with him. This is what the Lord promised Joshua, did he not? In Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no success apart from Christ. There is no favor apart from God. I know we think it is owed to our own diligence and hard work. And there is something to be said for that. Or some of us think that it is owed to your study and perseverance. And beloved, there is something to be said for that too. But listen, ultimately, success is owed to one thing, and that is the presence of the Lord. And that's why I sing along with David. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be? It's the presence of the Lord. That is Emmanuel. That is God with us. He is our protection. He is our prosperity. The presence of the Lord is our peace. He is our peace. This is the promise that God made to Moses. When Moses asked the Lord for reassurance in difficult, trying, and troubling times, you know what the Lord said to Moses? In Exodus 33, when Moses was unsure of the days ahead and how he was going to fulfill the calling upon his life, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's what the presence of the Lord is, beloved. It is your peace. It is our rest. It is our calm in the midst of the storm. This was Jesus to his disciples, was it not? In Mark chapter 4, when they're out on those stormy seas and they fear for their life and they come to Jesus and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus wakes up, and what does Jesus do? In verse 39 of Mark 4, the Bible says, Jesus rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace be still. Peace be still. That is Emmanuel. That is God with the disciples. That is God with you and me every day. In the midst of the storm, the Lord's presence whispers, peace, be still. And though billows may roll and breakers may dash, I will not sway because he holds me fast. Why? Because the Lord is with you. And you need not fear. You have his peace. You have his peace. The Lord's presence is our peace. It is our prosperity. It is our protection. That you understand that the presence of the Lord, beloved, is permanent. It is permanent. David said, the presence of the Lord is everywhere in our lives. And because it is everywhere in our lives, the presence of the Lord is our comfort and our strength. In Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, what does David say? He asks a rhetorical question, doesn't he? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. and the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is light to you. The presence of the Lord is inescapable. And so Emmanuel, God, is never not with you. He is never not with you. Your running can't outrun his presence. Your fear can't scare away his presence. And your sin doesn't forfeit his presence. For when Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 and verse 20 that he was with them, he said, not only am I with you, but I am with you for good and forever. You stuck with me. You are stuck with me. And therefore, let me think like Peter, James, and John thought, that every day I get to hang out with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Every day they woke up knowing, I'm going to hang out with Jesus. Beloved, that is no different from you and me. It's what it means to be saved. No need to worry. No need to wonder if Christ is in your life, if Christ is here, if Christ is with you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, God says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Always know Christ is there. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be dismayed. He is with you wherever you go. No night too dark. No road too rough. No valley too low. No mountain too high. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep his presence from you, beloved. Doesn't work that way. And I have to remind myself of this all the time. I have to remind myself, Jesus is with me. He is not just with me when I come to church. He is not just with me when I'm preparing a sermon, but Jesus is with me when I'm grocery shopping. The Lord is with me when I'm blowing leaves. The Lord is with me when I'm driving through Atlanta traffic. He's with me in the hospice and the hospital rooms. He's with me as I'm studying for exams. He's with me as I'm watching the Falcons hoping they win. The Lord is with me. He's with me when I'm baking cookies or I got a broken down car. He is with me and I'm smoking ribs or I got broken ribs. He is with me. Whether I'm lying down to sleep or I'm waking up to work. The Lord God is with me. Christ is Emmanuel. And he will never leave you. I said he will never leave you. He will never leave you, beloved. And you, therefore, you are never alone. That is the present that God has given us this morning. His presence. And you are never alone. Never, never alone. So remember that this Christmas, would you please? Just remind yourself of that. No matter how it seems, how lonely it feels at any moment, you are never alone. For Emmanuel says, I am with you forever and ever. Amen. Forever. and ever. Amen. Let's pray.